Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser. So happy to be with you all this beautiful Friday before Memorial Day weekend. My guest today is a dear friend named Carrie Ann Dixon. She's been with Zonta International for a number of years. We're going to find out how long and all the different roles she has played in this international organization, which will be coming up on its 100th anniversary in 1919. So many friends that I talk to and meet have not ever heard about Zonta, which is hard to believe because it is really making a difference both locally and internationally. So welcome to the show, Carrie. How are you?
Great. Thanks, Brenda, for inviting me. I'm glad to be here, and I am enjoying that it's almost a three-day weekend.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for making time to be with us. I know you have a very big job there at the Iowa State University. Tell us a little bit about what you do as coordinator of sustainable design, facilities, planning, and management. That's a big title. What does it all mean?
Yes, I manage large renovation projects on our campus, anywhere from $300,000 to $70 million, as well as oversee all of our sustainable design and construction efforts on campus. We have a goal on our campus that all of our new construction and our major renovations are designed to the U.S. Green Building Council's LEED standard. And I work to try and incorporate as many sustainable elements into the design and construction of our building, from daylighting to use of sustainable materials. It's a lot of input on using recycled materials and recycling construction waste. We managed to pull from our projects in the last 10 years about 100,000 tons of demolition waste, and we've managed to recycle 90% of that, and it's been a savings to the university of close to $1 million, because it means you don't have to truck it to a landfill, you don't have to put it in a landfill. So we're looking at innovative ways to protect our environment with the building.
Wow, that's a very non-traditional area for a woman, I think. You know, maybe 20 years ago women weren't doing this kind of job, or even 30 years ago. But how did you get into this, and who mentored you along the way?
I kind of fell into it. I have a degree in architecture from the University of Notre Dame, and was one of 9 women in a class of 40. And went to work in a private firm in Illinois, and there were 20 employees, and 2 of the professional staff were women and a secretary, and realized that sitting behind a desk drawing all day without contact with people really wasn't my career path. And I fell into a wonderful position at Illinois State University, as a campus planner and assistant to the vice president for physical operations, and got exposed to the whole gamut of the physical operations side of a university, and then started to specialize in project management. And his goal was to bring women into the facilities field in higher education because there are not many. And then I came to Iowa State almost 20 years ago, and up until 6 months ago was the only female professional staff member in an office of 25 construction managers, architects, and engineers. So it's been interesting to watch the field grow in 30 years of work.
And so how is being a member of Zonta help support you in a traditionally male-dominated field?
It's been wonderful because it's a network of women who in many cases are in similar situations. With the diversity of membership that we have in Zonta, you have women who are in fields that have traditionally been male-dominated. And a lot of times these are the women that I've met and the friends that I've made have gone through these battles or been in these situations, you know, a generation ahead of me, or, you know, even just 5 to 10 years ahead of me. And it's just nice to have somebody to talk to who's been there, because whether you're in, you know, construction industry like I am here at the university, there are a limited number of individuals who are in that same kind of role in my community. So it gives me a network to reach out to and just ask for advice. And sometimes it's an ear to listen when you need to vent. And
how
so
did
that's
you,
been really helpful.
Now, I understand, I happen to know, but our audience listening does not know, that your mother is in Zonta. And so is that how you originally heard about Zonta, was witnessing your mother being a member of it?
Yeah, it was. When I was in college, my mother was invited to join the Zonta Club of Champaign-Urbana in Illinois. She was working at the University of Illinois at the time. And when I came home, I would, you know, help schlep things to fundraisers and service projects, and looked at this organization going, this is kind of neat, you know. It's women who are professionals and executives, and they're coming together. And, you know, while there are these neat conventions that are held every 2 years around the world, and they're looking at advancing the status of women. And so after I graduated and was working for a couple of years in a professional field, she recommended me for membership, and I joined a club in Illinois and have been an active member of Zonta since 1989.
Wow.
I've been a member of 5 different clubs in that time, been involved in the chartering of the 5th one, have lived in 3 different communities, so it's given me a connection into a community when I move to at least I know somebody who lives in the area. Not that I may not actually know them, but through Zonta, there's a contact and there's somebody to reach out to and a club to join, and it's sort of like moving into having an immediate network and family around you when you're far away from your comfort zone.
So you've been in Zonta 25 years now, and your mother was in Zonta for probably, what, 35, 45 years?
She's probably 30. No. She's not that old, and she'll get mad at me.
30-plus years, though.
Yeah, but 30-plus years in Zonta.
Wow. And so this is a professional organization for women in the professions. And, you know, how did it start back in 1919? I understand it started in upstate New York, and it started the year before women even had the right to vote. How has it grown, and how has it stayed true to its original goals and mission?
You know, Zonta originally started, it was kind of a twofold thing. In 1919 in Buffalo, New York, it started as a network for professional women, because at that time Rotary had been around but did not allow female members, and really didn't up until, you know, the last 40 years. And so it was a brainchild of a group of individuals who wanted to pull together a professional service organization and have that mission of improving the status of women. And it started locally in Buffalo. It had several clubs that then formed in the Northeast United States, and then it became international when clubs were formed in Canada. And then it continued to grow in the U.S. and Canada until the first club in Europe was chartered, and I believe that that was in Vienna. And then it started taking off across, you know, Europe and Australia and Asia and New Zealand and South America as well. And now we have a Zonta presence in, you know, six continents of the world in close to 70 countries worldwide. I think it's either 66 or 68 countries, and we continue to grow. We've had some really great expansion within the last 4 years in expanding clubs in throughout Africa, as well as looking at opening new clubs in South America again.
And that is just so awesome, because it does create this international network and fellowship that when you go to an international convention, you get to meet these women from other countries, get to talk to them, become friends, exchange email addresses, and as you were saying earlier, you have this worldwide network of people connected that wherever you go, there's most likely is a Zonta Club. I know that I was originally invited to join in Washington, D.C. in 1997, and at that time I was moving away to Colorado within a few months, so I did not join, but I was working at a battered women's shelter, and as you know, Carrie, but maybe our listeners don't know, Zonta is heavily involved in funding organizations that work to end violence against women. So our shelter had gotten a call from the Zonta Club in Washington, D.C. that they had raised $5,000 and they were just giving it to us, and I couldn't believe it. I thought, who is this group of wonderful women just calling me up, giving us money at this nonprofit organization? And so my first encounter was a very positive encounter with a group of women that really cared to make a difference locally. Then I moved to Colorado. I'm getting my hair cut, and the woman says, oh, I'd like you to come to my women's group to speak about the Red Cross, because at that time I worked for the American Red Cross. And that was the Zonta Club of Denver at the time, and they had a scholarship student there speaking. So, I mean, all these different cities, and it wasn't until I moved to Missouri in 2004 that I was invited to join Zonta and actually help rebuild a local club. So, you know, the third time when you keep getting a message from the universe, it's obvious that you should pay attention and join, you know. So I knew it wasn't going to go away. It was going to keep coming up. And it's been an incredible journey for me in 10 years that I've been a member, going to some of the international conventions, meeting women like yourself, and just expanding my own network and belief in my abilities and skills. But so it is a worldwide organization, and now it's headquartered in Chicago, correct? And you've been to the headquarters there, Carrie?
Yes, I have. When I was on the international board, we had our headquarters in downtown Chicago on Randolph. And looking at our budgets and a major investment that was needed in the building and some other things, it was determined by the board at that time that it made sense to sell the building and make a profit. And we relocated our headquarters, and we're currently located in Oak Brook, Illinois, just outside the city of Chicago border. It's easy for international travel to get there for our board members who come in from all over the world. We have staff in the Chicago office, and you know, it's a great place because there are 100 years of archives and gifts to the headquarters office. So it's great to walk in and see all the flags of the nations that are members of Zonta. The always on display is the flag of the United States, the flag of Zonta International, and then the flag of the country of the current president, you know, the full-size flag. And then we've got smaller versions of all of the country flags. And then just some of the materials that are out from charters of clubs that are, you know, some of the original clubs, archival photographs, unique gifts that have been given to international presidents and to headquarters over the years, and just the trove of of gems that are there at headquarters. The board room was outfitted by the Zonta Clubs in Taiwan, and it's got a beautiful table and artwork that have come in, and it's just a really special place.
And so how is an organization that is now based in Chicago manage a worldwide organization that's in 66 countries and, you know, 30,000 members and this huge international operation? How does it manage to meet the needs of various diverse cultures within the membership?
Yeah, we've got a great dedicated staff at headquarters with an executive director and then staff members in various specialty areas there. And then the leadership of the organization is elected by the members of Zonta. So we have an international president who is currently Lynn McKenzie from New Zealand. We have a president-elect who currently is Maria Jose Ostergaard from Denmark, a vice president, Sonia Hsu from Sweden, a treasurer, Kathleen Hughes, who is from the United States, and then there are seven elected international directors, and they are elected from the membership at large throughout the world. So we've got members currently on the board from the United States, from Cyprus, from, I'm going to forget someone, from Germany, I think Bulgaria is, so there's, you know, there's a huge diversity in the membership of the board. And then the board oversees a network of districts. So all of the clubs in the world, in the Zonta world, have been divided into 32 districts. And those are then managed by a governor and then her board, again, a lieutenant governor, treasurer, and then area directors who oversee smaller groups of clubs. So it really is a very tree-structured organization. So you have the clubs that work with an area director. The area director works with the governor. The governor works with the international board. And the international president helps coordinate everything.
And so how has technology, which has rapidly changed in the last 10 years just since I've been a member, how has that impacted Zonta and how has it allowed it to expand in new ways?
Oh, technology has been a lifesaver. Just in the difference from when I served on the board from 2007 to 2009, when things like WebEx were just getting started, so you could do screen sharing technology versus just a conference call and everybody's flipping through pages. And now with Skype and things like Zoom US and other video conferencing, you can bring in groups. So it used to be that a mailing would go out to everyone, and, you know, it was much slower, just like business was much slower. You dealt with everything by mail or by fax. And now with modern technology, you know, we've got email to help improve communications with everyone, information that can be posted instantly to the Zonta International website, which is zonta.org, Facebook pages, Twitter feeds, LinkedIn groups, as well as we have in this last biennium, in 2012 through 2014, we have started the use of eClubs. And that is, instead of traditionally, to date, all Zonta clubs were a face-to-face meeting club. And you met once or twice a month in a face-to-face meeting, and everything was based within a limited community area. Well, technology, we spent several years looking at how we could use technology to increase the number of members and increase flexibility for members and allowed the adoption and creation of eClubs, an electronic club. So you use the tools that are out there that we regularly use for business anymore, and to have these meetings electronically. So you have the joy of belonging to a Zonta club and being able, if your job requires a lot of travel, to be able to connect to a meeting via a Skype group call or Zoom or Web Meetings to Go, or, you know, various technologies that are out there and still developing, or even in chat rooms so you can all just type together at the same time. But to be able to have that kind of connection we sometimes joke, in the comfort of your own home in your comfy pants and bunny slippers, because sometimes it just gets hard with the amount of demands on women today between work and family and a desire to be involved in both the local and global community, to be able to find time to commute to a meeting. This allows you to have that. The use of technology has been great because it allows you to have that meeting in 45 minutes or an hour once or twice a month, stay connected via Facebook and other things, and still get business accomplished and still come together, make decisions on service projects, do service in our own community, whether it's a small group of people who happen to be co-located, or you make a decision to host a advocacy or informational fair electronically, because we each have different circles of friends and colleagues. And by deciding we're going to take a week and bring awareness to violence against women. One person, we did a quick analysis and some things, and looking at Facebook, so you say one person has 200 friends, the other members of the club have 200 friends apiece. If five members of the club share information, that goes out to potentially 1,000 different people, and they may even share that information, and it just goes global so quickly. And a lot of what we do with advocacy is being able to get the information out to people, to raise awareness about violence against women, about restrictions on access to education and health care, and just freedoms that we take for granted in a lot of, in the United States, and a lot of, more, I hate to use the term, more developed countries, more democratic countries where we've got these great access to health care, access to education that is not the same around the world.
Well, I do want to make sure that we give out those social media sites again for people to check out. Zonta.org is the website for the international organization, and then on Twitter it's the @Zonta, I-N-T-L. And there's so much information just on those two sites. And then Facebook is facebook.com/Zonta International. And I was just looking at the Facebook page, and today, 38 minutes ago, they shared that today is International Day to End Obstetric Fistula. And that is a word I had never heard of before I was in Zonta. And it's definitely a major problem in parts of Africa. And Zonta is involved with a program that is working to end fistula in Liberia. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Carrie? I know that the vice president of Zonta visited Liberia to see firsthand how Zonta is helping. And I think that's one of the amazing things about Zonta is not only do they fund programs and they partner and collaborate with other groups that are on the ground, but that Zonta leaders travel to these countries, go firsthand to witness the programs, do site visits, and I know you've been to Africa, and I want to talk about that here in a minute. But let's talk a little bit about this program in Liberia. I know it's kind of an obscure, people don't think about what's happening to women in Liberia. Can you tell us a little bit about what you know about that issue?
Yeah, and this is an issue that really affects women in areas of the world where there is not immediate access to health care. And with obstetric fistula, what happens is that a woman will go into labor. And sometimes it's because she's very young. Sometimes there are other health reasons, but the baby gets stuck in the birth canal. And then just with the strain of labor, and many times this results in a stillborn child, is that with the result of all of the pressures of labor and the presence of the baby in the birth canal, cutting off blood vessels and everything else, there becomes a tissue death in the birth canal and a tear. And so a hole develops between the birth canal and the rectum. And so that there is, you lose all control of your bladder as well as bowel function, and you become ostracized by your villages. And many times this leads to death in the women. in women if it's left too long. But with fistula, there's a way in a lot of these hospitals, and what we are working to do with the partner agency within the UN, is funding these hospitals that go in and help repair the tear in the vaginal wall and allow these women to return to a normal life, because, you know, it's a horrible, horrible effect of childbirth. And when you have to walk 3 days to get to a physician or a midwife, and you're in labor the entire time, and it's just one of the worst things I could ever imagine going through. And so with this, the fistula project, we work on funding the repair of women who have fistula, and then also providing them training so that they can make a living, whether it be in a textile industry or sewing or other ways, so they become, get training, you know, reading, micro finance management, a skill so that they can make a living for themselves, because by the time that they wound up at any of the centers that are working with us, most of the time they've been ostracized or shunned out of their village, and they don't have a home to go back to. So we help them rebuild their lives.
And so it's kind of ironic that we're, you know, on the air today talking about Zonta, and that today is the International Day to End Obstetric Fistula. So there is articles there on Facebook. I encourage people to go to the Zonta Facebook page, read up about what's happening. There's some wonderful pictures of the Zonta International leader that went to Liberia, and there's about 16 photos there. So it's a great place to kind of get caught up on an issue you may not know about. And, you know, so often out of Africa we hear, you know, the bad news with what's happened in Nigeria, and definitely things are difficult for women in various parts of Africa. But tell us about the trip you took to the Ivory Coast and how it impacted your life.
Oh, that was amazing. I was fortunate enough to be named as the when I was international director, as the liaison to District 18. And District 18 is all of the clubs in Africa. And so I got to go to their conference, which was held in Abidjan in Ivory Coast or Côte d'Ivoire. And we went out and visited the service project of the local club there in Abidjan, which was a maternity hospital in one of the villages that was outside of Abidjan. And until Zonta went in, and the Zonta Club of Abidjan went into this village, there was not a road to the village. It was a traditional African village that they thrived on harvesting of fish in the lagoon that was very close to the village. But if you went into labor in this village, you were put in a dugout canoe if somebody was there, and then they paddled across the lagoon to get to the nearest midwife. So it was a three-hour canoe ride while you're in labor, which just having kids, the thought of being in a canoe in labor
for 3 hours
is kind of frightening. And,
oh my goodness!
And just it was amazing, and it wasn't. A huge undertaking. The maternity hospital was 7 rooms. It had, you know, 2 delivery rooms that could hold up to 2 to 3 women apiece, a recovery room, a pharmacy, a meeting room to be used for education. Also, they provided other, you know, maternal follow-up appointments for the mothers there with their children. And it was a very simple project, but the difference that it made in the lives of the women in the village was incredible. And I had to laugh because the chief of the village made the comment to me that he was so thankful for Zonta and the Zonta Club of Abidjan, because now the women aren't afraid. The women will speak to the men again, because the women, you know, if you were looking at having 3 hours of labor on a boat, you know, weren't real thrilled about having childbirth. He said, thank you, Zonta. It has improved our family relations. And it made me chuckle. But, you know, up until that point, finding out that there hadn't been a road to this village, the road was built to help bring the materials in to build a hospital. It, you know, the kind of benefits that it brought to the village just by having the simple building built. But it just
made me
so thankful for, you know, just the luck of the draw of being born to the parents that I was born to, raised well, educated, the kind of access to education and health care that we have here in the States. And it really reinforced to me the mission of the organization and my commitment to having to give back. And that's one of the great things, because it doesn't matter where you are, whether there is the need, whether you're, you know, anywhere you are here in the States, throughout Europe, throughout Asia, Africa, Australia, New Zealand, there are women who need assistance. They need to improve their status. And it just kind of went, you know, I'm thankful for the opportunities that I have, and it really reinforced to me the need to give back.
That's so true. And I think being in Zonta has inspired me to want to travel to Africa. And as you know, and some of my listeners have heard me mention, that I'm planning to go to Ghana this fall in September with Global Mamas. They help empower women in three different villages that are making fair trade products, clothing, beaded jewelry, and shea butter. And I will be going over there as a volunteer. And I just heard yesterday that the two founders, the two women that started it, who were in the Peace Corps, have just been named 2014 Shriver Award winners. The Peace Corps has recognized them. That's a huge award that they give out annually. And the two gals from Global Mamas will be recognized at the end of June. But my desire to go to Africa and be hands-on in a program like this as a volunteer for a couple of weeks has directly stemmed from my involvement with Zonta. And it's just been an organization that helps you see beyond your front yard, helps you see beyond the small problems we think we have here in the U.S. Compared to some of the women in other countries. But it also shows that you can make an impact, that one or two women, I mean, you going over there to the Ivory Coast, Carrie, you made a big impact. I mean, I'm sure those women that met you remember your beautiful smile, your kindness, you're very in tune, and that a professional woman would take time out of her busy life with a very big job at the university, at the Iowa State University, to travel halfway across the world to check in on the women at a maternity hospital. I mean, it speaks volumes for the type of woman you are, and it speaks volumes for the type of organization that Zonta is to provide these opportunities for women from the United States to go overseas and to create this international community at conventions. And we'll be talking when we come back after break. We're going to take a short break here about conventions that happen every 2 years. I know Carrie and I both have attended conventions in Australia and San Antonio, Texas, and in the Netherlands. And there's one coming up again in the United States in June. We'll talk about that in just a moment. You're listening to Alive to Thrive on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Brenda Fraser. Stay with us. We'll be right back in just a minute.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Are you tired of the abuse? Trying to recover after rape or other sexual violence? Are you worried about a friend or a family member Safe Connections is here for you in the greater St. Louis metropolitan area. We work to reduce the impact and incidence of domestic violence and sexual assault, access referrals, resources, and most of all, compassionate support through our 24-hour crisis helpline. No cost. Call us anytime at 314-531-2003. That's 314-531-2003.
You're listening to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Frazier on GGM. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Alive to Thrive. That PSA about domestic violence was actually recorded by Patrice Billings, a former club president of a Zonta chapter and a current member of the Zonta E-Club, the USA One Club here in the United States. And I do need to give a shout-out to Rendezvous Cafe and Wine Bar located in O'Fallon, Missouri, a unique coffee shop and wine bar. They're open 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Wednesday and 11 until 11 p.m. on the weekends. They have live entertainment and beer and wine and book signings and painting classes and a whole bunch of things. But they do have a banquet room, and I will be hosting an event there Thursday, May 29th, 6 p.m. networking, 7 p.m. The program about Global Mamas. There'll be video shown, and we'll have a Skype guest Skyping in from another part of the United States who actually has gone to Ghana and volunteered with Global Mamas, and she'll be speaking about her experiences. So welcome back, Carrie. We're talking about Zonta International today, and we're talking about the international community that this organization provides for women to meet other women from other parts of the world, from 60-plus countries. And the convention coming up in June, what will be happening in Orlando, Florida? It will be stateside this year. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The convention is in Orlando, and it has, you know, our regulars onto business. We'll have the reports on the last year, elections for the officer positions for the upcoming biennium, which is our Zonta cycle is every 2 years for our international positions, approval of the incoming president's service project that she would like us to fund through our the Zonta International Foundation, as well as great fellowship and guest speakers that are coming in, new international members, honorary members of the organization. And one of the fun things that's happening this year is that our closing ceremony, Cirque du Soleil, is going to be performing. So that's so neat. It really is kind of fun.
The entertainment at convention is mind-blowing. I mean, when we were in Australia, we had the local indigenous people involved with the didgeridoo and the local culture exhibited. You really get to know when the convention's in another country, you really get to know that local culture through the music, performing arts, and here in the States, it's a chance for us to showcase what's best about the United States. And so Orlando, center of entertainment, a lot of things happening there. But the convention itself, so many different events at night with women wearing their traditional outfits from their countries. And as you said, this convention, the 62nd convention, we'll have a closing performance with Cirque du Soleil. And it's not too late. People can register and go as a guest. You don't have to be a member of Zonta to attend. It's orlando2014.zonta.org, and you can see there the entire schedule. I mean, there's 5 full days of things happening,
mm-hmm.
And you can go to the marketplace. You can connect with women from other parts of the world. And, you know, maybe you might even want to join Zonta after you learn about all the various service projects and things happening. So how are conventions different in the U.S. than overseas for you, Carrie, personally?
Personally, for me, it's easier because it's just easier to get there sometimes. You're also you know, we're really, you know, being in the States, we're really in our element. I mean, we don't have to worry about translation and money exchange and some of the other things that our members who are coming in from off-continent have to concern themselves with. And it's easy. Many times it's kind of easier because you, when we've had them in the U.S., a lot of the times they're in major cities that people have been to. Our U.S.-based conventions in the past, I started going to convention in 98, and that first one was in Detroit, and we've had them since then in the States, in Detroit and St. Louis, New York City, San Antonio, and now Orlando. And so that's kind of the neat thing. The one thing that I always get disappointed, because for me, one of the highlights of convention is the flag parade, and that's part of the opening ceremony. And what that is really a parade of flags, starting with the U.S. flag, because that's where the first Club of Zante International was chartered. And so you go through every country that Zante International has in order of that country having their first club in Zante, progressing through. So you get to see all of these flags from the 68 different countries and being carried by women in the traditional costume of their country. And when I sit there and watch all of these, the flag parade, I sit back and realize what a melting pot we are in the U.S. because we don't really have a national costume. As opposed to, Germany or Liechtenstein or Sweden or Iceland, Japan, they have just beautiful clothes that are very traditional and come from thousands of years, several thousand years of history of the country. And you come to the U.S. and, I joke with someone once that maybe our national costume is sequins. I don't know, but... It's kind of, you sit there going, huh, what would you wear if you were to represent the United States?
A lot of red, white, and blue. I remember San Antonio, there was a lot of red, white, and blue, and then they, of course, focused on the southwestern and Texas cowboy kind of theme. But there are so many different regional aspects to the United States and various cultures within the United States. But the impressive thing, too, about Orlando 2014 is this guest speaker from the United Nations, the Undersecretary General and Director of UN Women. That's very impressive. And it's very impressive to know that Zante is the only professional women's organization with a seat at the UN and is closely tied in to the United Nations. No other women's organization can say that. And there are several women's organizations that have come and gone and some that are still around and try to claim that they're international, but none of them, I dare any of them to say that they have the relationship with the United Nations that Zante does, and that's extremely impressive. That's no small feat. That has taken years of relationship building and I think provides a measure of incredible credibility to Zante to have impact and influence in foreign governments, and I know at some of the conventions, some of the mayors, the mayor of Rotterdam showed up at one of our receptions, but to really have influence and impact with other cultures to help advance status of women in these countries. What has been one of your favorite memories from a past convention?
I think it's probably the first convention that I went to, which was in Detroit, and I hadn't had much experience outside of my own club in my own district at that point, and we're in Detroit, Michigan, and managed to get a seat in the second row at the opening ceremony, and sitting in front of me is Maya Angelou. She was the keynote speaker. She was the keynote speaker.
You are kidding me.
And I'm just going, and at the time, I was still relatively young in my career and, not paying much attention. And, having been in architecture and engineering, the arts was not something that, other than theater, which I was involved with, was not something that was really on my radar. And listening to her and then realizing, you know, after she was named Poet Laureate for the United States, going, wow, I met her.
That's breathtaking. I didn't know that story. So that's pretty amazing. And I think it's funny. It's like you never forget your first. And mine was Australia and Melbourne. And even though the airlines lost my luggage for the first couple of days, it was so incredible. Never in my wildest dreams did I imagine I'd be able to travel to Australia, let alone be around 3,000 to 4,000 very cool and interesting women. So, you never forget your first convention. But
your
Maya Angelou, that pretty much takes the cake there, Carrie.
Yeah.
Now, you've had a lot of leadership. Go ahead.
You know, I was just saying, and then fortunately in Torino, which was our last convention here in 2012, I got to meet Michelle Bachelet, who is now the president of, Venezuela? No. But at the time, she was the head of UN Women. And, you know, then she left UN Women and then was elected president back in her country in South America, and you're kind of going, wow. You know,
wow.
Where do you have those kind of opportunities? So... yeah,
that is amazing. And you've had many leadership roles. You're currently serving as a club president, and you've been an international director. Tell us about some of the different leadership roles you've had that are open to every member of Zonta, that if they have the desire to get in there, roll up their sleeves, and do the work, and if they have aspirations to being a leader, what are the leadership roles you've had that are open to other members?
There's a lot of opportunity at the local club level, whether it is as a club director or club officer, committee chairs. And then as you move up, there are, you know, committee chair coordination for your district. In the United States, our districts typically cover anywhere from 3 to 10 states. We have 12 districts in the U.S., and just depending on the density of population is kind of how large the district could be. But there's district leadership roles in overseeing the different educational scholarships that are offered, advocacy, service, membership, and then I've held positions as a district committee chair. I've held positions as elected district office. And fortunately for the last two biennia, I've been serving as vice chairman of the Zonta International Membership Committee. So we work to support all of the clubs in the districts around the Zonta world, encourage the forming of new clubs, expanding Zonta into new countries. And those are all positions that are open to any member who has the interest to, as you said, you know, roll up your sleeves and get in and get dirty. All of the positions within Zonta are volunteer, and so they're kind of there and open to the commitment that you want to make to the organization. And, you know, it's offered me leadership positions and opportunities and training and working with some incredible leaders over the past 15 years that I've really been, heavily involved in those kind of committee work in both at the district and the international level. And so, shows you the kind of leaders that you want to be, and just being able to have those kind of women to talk to and to mentor you and to strive to follow in their footsteps is an opportunity that I don't get in my career, because I'm in a field that is incredibly male-dominated when you're dealing with physical facilities at a university. So for me, it gives me that kind of mentor to go to that I can take those opportunities back and apply within my day-to-day job.
And so how does Zonta develop leaders? What kind of training do they provide, and how do they inspire leadership?
Well, at the district level, the district leaders work on training the club presidents and doing trainings within the area, which is going to be groups of anywhere from 5 to, depending on some of the districts, 5 to 100 clubs, encouraging club presidents and providing just training, various different kinds of training, leading club meetings, understanding parliamentary procedure, delegating and providing, you know, those kind of training opportunities, as well as at area meetings and district conferences and seminars, and bringing in outside speakers to provide, you know, direction and guidance and kind of light a fire under people for skills that can be used both in the club and in your professional life. And then we also have opportunities at inter-district conferences, and we hold one of those in the U.S. every other year from the off year of convention. We also have different kinds of training sessions at convention. And then just recently in the last year, we've been holding these monthly Membership Matters webinars and other webinars through Zonta International headquarters and our committees to provide a web-based training opportunity and more information for members. And then those are all captured so that people can go back and listen to them. And they're not long webinars. They're, you know, 20 minutes. But it's just something to help educate members, but also sometimes remind you of best practices and other things that are out there, because so many times, you know, just within our clubs, but within our regular life, we kind of get in the rut of doing the same old, and sometimes you need somebody to, you know, you sit down and watch something going, oh, there's another way of doing this. It's kind of like, to use the commercial, the, oh, I could have had a V8 moment, you know, duh.
Well, so I posted something about Amelia Earhart on my page yesterday that said, there's a quote by her that says, never interrupt someone doing what you said couldn't be done. And, of course, she had set out on her historic solo flight in 1932, being the first woman to fly nonstop across the Atlantic. And it's been 77 years next month, June, that she attempted to fly around the world. And, you know, Amelia Earhart was a Zonta member. Many people may or may not know that. And there's a scholarship in her memory, the Amelia Earhart Fellowship Scholarship for Postgraduate Studies. Tell us a little bit about that scholarship and the other amazing scholarships that Zonta offers to women.
Yeah, the AE Fellowship is given out every year. There are... I'm trying to remember the exact number of fellowships given out each year, and I just don't have it.
That's all right. Some of the women have
gone on to be
rocket scientists, literally.
Yeah, well, they are. They literally are rocket scientists. It's a $10,000 fellowship. It's renewable. You can reapply for a second year. You can use the money for anything you want, but you need to be in graduate studies in a field that is related to aeronautical and aerospace engineering. And I've been fortunate enough to meet AE fellows here at Iowa State who are doing, you know, material scientists, looking at the materials on the shells of planes and spacecraft. And it's rocket science, and we've had some amazing Amelia Earhart fellows that have been out and working in the real world, as well as those that are in school. And it's an incredible opportunity because, again, it's a field where there are not a lot of women. And it's great to be able to have this $10,000 fellowship, these fellowships that we can hand out annually. We also have, at the undergraduate level, the Jane M. Klausman Award in Business, and that goes to a business major. In the U.S., it's typically a junior or senior in business, and that award goes out. There can be district awards. There are district awards for that so that it can go to someone in the district, and then they apply to be part of the International Jane M. Klausman Award and then can get an additional stipend from Zonta International. And then at the high school level, we have the Young Women in Public Affairs, and that is a scholarship that is given to a high school student that is involved in awareness in her own community. And those are awards that are sponsored by both their club, their district, and then the district winner can go in and become an international candidate for that award. And so, you know, it's one of the areas within Zonta that we really work to enforce is the education of women and providing opportunities and celebrating those women and girls who are doing great things in their studies and in their communities.
And just so many of those scholarships, the women have gone on to some incredible things. I remember a young lady from St. Charles who won the scholarship of the Young Woman in Public Affairs, YWPA Award locally, and she went on to go to Purdue, go on to work for NASA. She stayed in touch, and soon after she got that scholarship from the local club, we had taken pictures with her parents. Her mother passed, and so the pictures of her and her mother at this Yellow Rose banquet that we had here in St. Charles, Missouri, really touched her. And it was just so sweet that she stayed in touch with us and let us know how that scholarship really helped us and helped her to further her studies. And all the women have been so amazing and impressive. And the national, international winners are often speakers at the conventions, and so you get to hear their stories. Some of them, their stories are on YouTube, and they are, the Zonta does have a YouTube channel, and so you can go there and watch some of the personal stories of things of how Zonta has touched many lives, ranging from high school students, as you said, all the way up to postgraduate, and then the leadership. And some of those former scholarship recipients do go on to become Zonta members and become Zonta leaders and make it a lifelong, it seems like, membership in Zonta for a majority of people, a large number of people, make it a lifelong part of their life. I know one of our last founders here in Missouri in the St. Charles area asked to be buried with her Zonta pin on, and that just was so touching. And, you know, I went on to start, we started a scholarship at a local community college here in memory of my sister, and because it came through a civic organization, the college matched the money. So we've had several women that have returning learners. We kind of aimed it at women that were a little bit older that were going back to school, and to hear their success stories and hear how they've done, it's just so heartwarming to know that you can make a difference in someone's life. And whether it's through the international service projects like we talked about earlier or through the scholarship programs, Zonta is continuing to make a difference 100 years later after their original founding. Are there any closing thoughts or closing quotes that you share with us, Carrie? I do have a book here of great quotes for great women, and could definitely pick one out, but I didn't know if you had a quote from a woman or just something you wanted to share as we close up here in the last couple minutes.
I don't have any great quotes, so I'm going to have you do that one. But I would like to just say to your listeners today that if anybody is interested in finding out more about Zonta or even joining, you know, our e-club, the USA One Club, to start out at looking at Zonta.org, look up the Zonta USA One Club on Facebook or contact you as a member. Thank you very much. And we'll get folks involved. You know, membership, you know, we make a difference through the members that we have in the organization. And, you know, if you are interested in helping improve the status of women, you know, we've got a way that you can help. And yeah. I just think it's great that, you know, you're willing to feature Zonta today. I mean, we're doing a lot of great things in the organization, and, you know, we want to be around for another 100 years.
There you go. Well, in our last 60 seconds, we'll share the words of Amelia Earhart, former Zonta member. Never interrupt someone doing what you said couldn't be done. You can do anything you decide to do. You can act to change and control your life. The process is its own reward. Women, like men, should try to do the impossible, and if they fail, their failure should be a challenge to others. So go out and do something this weekend or plan to make a difference in your life, in your community. Everyone can impact somebody's life in small ways and in big ways, and if you do want to know more about Zonta, please contact me, your host, Brenda Fraser, through my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/alivetothrive. or through one of the Zonta many Facebook pages that we mentioned. Thank you so much, and we'll be with you next week for the last Friday of May. And thank you, Carrie.
Great. Thanks, Brenda. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.